And the assigned lectionary gospel reading for this day again comes from Mark, the 8th chapter. I'm going to begin at verse 27. Jesus went on with his disciples to villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." But he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will be saved. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and to forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life?" May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, I want to begin with a short recap of the theme that was introduced last Sunday as our community path through the season of Lent. We'll be following an inspirational devotional booklet entitled Mary Oliver and the Poetry of Lent, a Lenten Devotional. You can pick up a copy on the information table, and I highly encourage you to do so and follow along throughout this season. For each of the 5 Sundays in the season of Lent, there are readings, both part of the assigned lectionary passage for that Sunday and also an excerpt from one of her poems. And then there's a brief meditation and an offering of several different practices that you might try during the week. Now, the first Sunday in Lent rightfully focused on repentance, which was the message of Jesus' first public pronouncement after his baptism and those 40 days in the wilderness being tempted. And to repent, as we mentioned, simply means to turn around, to have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of life. And an image was used in Mary Oliver's poem, Wild Geese, that reminds us that the Holy Spirit can be like a wild goose, flying untamed all around us, sometimes nipping at our heels, calling us to a change of life. And this image originally comes from ancient Celtic spirituality. And then we were also encouraged to connect with God through a wilderness walk at some point during the week. But I realized that was certainly hampered by the cold and rainy weather, but there's always this week. And finally, we lit a candle, as we will after the sermon each Sunday. It was the candle of repentance, asking God to help us to change in us what needs to be changed, and in our congregation as well. And that leads us to today, the second Sunday of Lent. And using the assigned lectionary gospel reading, Mark 8, 27 through 38, the devotional booklet focuses in on verse 36. "For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and to forfeit their life?" For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and to forfeit their life? This is going to make repentance seem easy. And to get into this a bit, let's look at the excerpt from Mary Oliver's poem In Blackwater Woods. It's printed on the cover of today's worship bulletin. And I'd like for us to read it together in unison.
Yeah.
To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and when the time comes, to let it go. To let it go. And the meditation portion of the devotional booklet reflects, this passage in Mark is full of mysteries. And at its core, it's how salvation somehow involves both losing one's life and saving it. Jesus warns us that there are ways to gain the whole world and yet still lose your life. And at the same time, Jesus promises that God works through loss in order to save. With Mary Oliver, we can see these mysteries unfold as well in the natural world and in our own lives through the ancient rhythms of giving and receiving, of losing and saving, of holding on and letting go. And in its own way, this poem and this meditation remind us life and faith are always an unpredictable journey, not a destination. And this was true of the life of Abraham and Sarah, as we heard expressed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans. And in the Gospel of Mark, he focuses in particular on Jesus' and the disciples' journey from Galilee to Jerusalem and the final week of Jesus' life. And in the process of that journey, the portrayal of Jesus' ministry shifts. No longer would his messiahship be demonstrated through a ministry of healings and miracles. The way open now before Jesus is one of suffering and rejection and death. And Jesus' journey with the disciples is one that will take them away from the safety and the growing acceptance in Galilee and leads them into what one biblical commentator calls the cross-strewn testing grounds of their faith. Now, after confessing Jesus as the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, Peter rebukes Jesus for saying that he must undergo suffering and rejection and death, only to be raised in 3 days. But Peter, in turn, is rebuked by Jesus for not being able to tell the difference, to discern the difference between human things and divine things. Peter, in turn, then, is rebuked for this difference, and I think sometimes we have the same problem. Then comes the really bad news. Jesus then says that as disciples, they are on a similar journey. So the stakes have drastically risen. There is suddenly more to being a disciple of Jesus than watching him heal or hearing him teach. Being a follower of Jesus, we learn, means taking responsibility for going on your own journey with God. And we also learn that discipleship involves giving up an element of our own lives through sacrificial love for others. A theology of the cross declares that having faith is not the same thing as being certain. That living in hope is not the same thing as possessing optimism. And most importantly, that love is not painless. The disciples surely must have envisioned their way to Jerusalem as a triumphal journey, not as a death march. But how much of Christianity today still misunderstands this aspect of discipleship, glossing over their particular understanding of Christianity with a sense of triumphalism and victory? Understanding this as a denomination is probably why we don't have any first triumphalist churches of Presbyterianism, let alone victory Presbyterian. Instead, Jesus lays out just three requirements, but they are frightening. To deny oneself, to take up one's cross, and to follow Jesus. I would suggest that these still apply to those of us who follow Jesus today. And a quick word about what it means to deny oneself, however. A popular phrase used in Alcoholics Anonymous goes like this: it doesn't mean to think less of yourself. Just think of yourself less. We can never insulate ourselves completely. And life is a continuous and sometimes hazardous journey. So let us again recall the wisdom offered by Mary Oliver: to love what is mortal, to hold it against our bones, knowing our own life depends on it, and then when the time comes, to let go. To let go. The devotional booklet then offers some practices that may help in this regard. It suggests, for instance, experiment with a letting go fast this week, creating little sanctuaries of Sabbath time. Try fasting from technology for an hour, a day, or the whole week. Or create a mealtime Sabbath box. I know some parents do this, for cell phones or other devices, so that you can better taste and see how God is good. Here's another. Make a list of what you need to embrace and what you need to release in order to live life more fully. And for you creative types, it suggests make the list itself beautiful, handwritten on special paper. Illuminate initial letters like ancient manuscripts, whatever works, and put it up somewhere where you'll see it every day. Or explore this question in a journal, or discuss it with family and friends over a meal. Well, this is similar to what I shared on the first Sunday of this year about carrying around, metaphorically, a backpack. And we talked about looking at it occasionally to see what things we need to keep in it, what things we might need to add to our backpack, and what things we might need to take out. Before closing, and the lighting of this candle for this week, I want to share another poem. It was posted just this week by Steve Garness Holmes on his website, unfoldinglight.net. It's entitled, Deny Yourself, reflecting on Mark 8:34, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Abandon the illusion you're a self-contained individual. Be a part of this wonderful world and find yourself with Christ. Set aside your own desires. Give yourself fully to others. Be the hands and heart of Jesus. Renounce self-protection. Accept your brokenness and reach out for love. Let go of your own plans. Join in the healing of the world. You will not be alone. Follow your soul, not your ego. Follow it right into people's suffering. Follow it right into the heart of God. Pour yourself out. Let the world pour in. Then you are one with the beloved. So opportunities are daily before us. Times when we may give our own lives in sacrificial acts of love, and in acts of compassion and justice and peace, even in the face of the same forces of sin and death that confronted Jesus. So as the devotional suggests this week, begin each day by lighting a candle of salvation, praying, God of grace, help me love what is mortal. Help me hold on to what needs to be embraced, let go of what needs to be let go, and have the wisdom to know the difference. And now, if you so choose, repeat this prayer after me. God of grace, help me love what is mortal. Help me hold on to what needs to be embraced. Let go of what needs to be let go. And have the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.